Shalom Aleichem, welcome back to everybody. This year we have the unique circumstance where Purim falls out of Motzei Shabbos. It's not all that uncommon, but as a result there are halachas to review because there are certain anomalies and certain unique halachas that do have to be reviewed. I'd like to divide this year into three separate parts. The first is Tainis Esther and Machtzis HaShekel. When does Tainis Esther take place and when do we give Machtzis HaShekel? When Purim falls out of Motzei Shabbos as it does this year. Number two, the relationship between Shabbos and Purim and many halachas regarding Hachana, preparing for Purim, what can and cannot be done on Shabbos proper. And number three, Motzei Shabbos, once Shabbos is over, there are certain particular halachas that need to be understood regarding Tefillah, regarding Havdalah, as well as Megillah. So that's the division as to how we will go about dealing with the issues relating to Purim, Shechal Yos, but Motzei Shabbos. The Ramah is very clear in Hilchos Tainis Esther, Siman Tafresh Pei Vav, Im Chal Purim Biyom Rishon, when Purim falls out on a Sunday, Misanim Biyom Chamishil Shalafanav, the fast takes place the Thursday prior to Purim. So Purim is on Sunday, Bezus Hashem Yisbarach, Tainis Esther will take place the Thursday before, a three-day difference, Thursday, Friday, Shabbos, and Sunday will be Purim. Mishnah Berurah asks the question, why is it that we don't fast on Friday? We're all familiar, you can fast on Shabbos, but why not fast on Erev Shabbos? Mishnah Berurah and Siman Tafresh Pei Vav, Sif Katan Gimel says, Erev Shabbos ain't Kovim Tanis, we never fast on a Friday, at least when it's not set up on the calendar as such. Mipnei Kveid HaShabbos. What does it mean? Lefi Shugil Mitainis Lom Slichos V'Sachanun, and we know that every Tzom, including Tainis Esther, we recite Slichos, there are extra Tfilos and Tachanunim, Avinu Malkenu. Uberev Shabbos lo yitachin lasos kein leflish lo yuchlu tshoch lechvot Shabbos. If we're so focused on tefillah and tachanunim and on slichos and in a longer davening, we're not going to be able to prepare properly for Shabbos. And therefore, on Erev Shabbos, we do not have the tzom of Tainis Esther. However, there's a second reason the Mishnah Berurah brings. Earlier in Hilchos Shabbos, in Reish Bem Tes, Sivkatun Yuches, the Mishnah Berurah explains, Kedesh lo yikanis leShabbos kishum una. We don't want you entering Shabbos all tired and weak and hungry. Our Chashulchan actually here in Siman Tafresh Pei Vav Sivkatan Gimel also says this reason. Of course, when Tainis comes out on a Friday, the only one that falls out on our calendar system this year is Asar B'Teves. And in that circumstance, if the calendar date is the calendar day, we can't shift and we can't move it. But here, in a situation where we're forced to move Tainis Esther because Yud Gimel falls out on Shabbos, we don't push it back to Friday, but rather we push it back to Thursday for these two reasons that the Mishnah Berurah brings. Covered Shabbos that we could prepare properly on Friday for Shabbos, or in order to make sure that we are not going to enter Shabbos in a state of tired, weakness, and famished. Mishnah Berurah does note in Siman Tafresh Pei Vav, Sivkata and Gimel, a fascinating halacha. Somebody forgets in this year's circumstance that indeed the fast is on Thursday. They didn't listen to this year, they didn't hear this podcast, and as a result they're confused, they're lost, and they didn't realize that the halacha is that you have to fast on Thursday. They thought they have to fast on Friday. They get home Thursday night and they hear that the whole shul, the whole town, the whole city has already fasted. And then they hear all of a sudden the fast already took place. What's the halacha, says the Mishnah Berurah, quoting Shitos Av Achronim, Yisane lemachar b'erev Shabbos. In that circumstance, indeed, you will fast on Erev Shabbos. That yachid, that individual, is going to fast on Erev Shabbos. It's not a global tzibur dika takana to fast on Erev Shabbos. But if a yachid forgets, indeed, the yachid will have to fast even on Friday. The Shaar Tzion, quoting the Bir Agra, explains that this is an anomaly and an exception, all of Hilchos Taneis, because if somebody forgets, fails to fast, any of the other Dalet Ta'anesim, there's no reason to be made to Tainis L'Tanesa. You don't have to make up a fast. Here, however, because Tainis Esther is 3 days, and there was a minig, as the Shaar Tzion explains in the Gra, to fast 3 different days. Certain people had such a custom. Therefore, it's not a specific calendar date, although Chazal made it Yud Gimel. Nonetheless, in a case, in a circumstance, in a situation where a person forgets, you'll make it up and fast on Erev Shabbos. The Kaf HaChaim writes in Siman Tuf Resh Tzadi Dalet Sivkatan Chafei that this year Machtzis HaShekel should be given, the minhag of the Machtzis HaShekel to give 3 half shekels should take place on Tainis Esther as well on Thursday prior to Purim, which falls on Sunday. The Lashon of the Kaf HaChaim, Kedei Letzarfo Im HaTainis LeKaparo. We want to include and add and juxtapose the Tainis with the kapara of giving the machtzis shekel, giving tzedakah, is a form of atonement, and therefore Thursday turns out to be quite a busy day, although Friday is not Purim. And Shabbos is only Yud Gimel, the day that Tainis Esther was supposed to be. Sunday, finally, Motzei Shabbos is Purim, but nonetheless, the fast is pushed back to Thursday, and we now understand why it's not on Friday. So therefore, the Thursday prior, one has to be careful to make sure to fast properly, to follow all the halachas of Ta'anesim, and to make sure to give the machtzis a shekel as well. Let's move toward Shabbos. Many of the questions that people are asking revolve around what can I do on Shabbos? Is there anything I can do on Shabbos to prepare for Purim? And the most common shayla that many are asking are about children. Can my kids dress up late in the day? They're so excited, they're waiting with eager anticipation to dress up, and they want to dress up on Shabbos. Can they dress up on Shabbos? Although Purim isn't until Motzei Shabbos, is that an Isser of Hachan? Is that a form of preparation? Interestingly, Rav Moshe Feinstein, Igros Moshe, Or HaChaim, Chelek Dalet, Simon Kuf Hei, addresses this question similarly. When a child wants to be put into pajamas, or more often than not, the parents want to put him in pajamas, they're not going to go to sleep till Motzei Shabbos, till well after Havdalah. Can you put them in pajamas on Shabbos? Or is that a form of Hachana? Am I preparing for what is only going to take place Motzei Shabbos? I'm putting on pajamas on Shabbos so that it's easier and it's quicker that my kid will get into bed on Motzei Shabbos. So Moshe writes, it's absolutely permitted. And the reason that it's permitted is because the Isser Hachan is, if I'm not doing anything now, I'm only preparing now for what's going to happen later. But when I'm putting on pajamas, there's benefit in the wearing of the pajamas. The child likes wearing pajamas. It's fun, it's geschmatic, it's exciting, it's relaxing to wear the pajamas. Now there's benefit on Shabbos proper to be wearing the pajamas. And certainly the parents really benefit from the child wearing their pants because it gets the child into the sleep schedule and into the mode of getting prepared for bed. L'chora, the same thing should be true here as well. And indeed, Rav Shlomo Miller is quoted in the Sefer Shoshanas Yisrael by his Talmud, writing that the tshuva from Rav Moshe is a raya and a makor, an even stronger makor when it comes to Erev Shabbos and Purim Shechalios B'motzei Shabbos. The kids are so excited, they're so looking forward. Therefore, wearing the partzuf and wearing the costume on Shabbos, that in and of itself has a benefit. That in and of itself has excitement. A kid can dress up and put on a funny hat, can put on some silly clothes on Shabbos too. Why should this Shabbos be any different? It's true you're going to wear the clothing and a costume for Motzei Shabbos, and it's Purim. And it's true you're wearing the costume now because you want to wear it on Purim. But you're wearing it now, and you're wearing it on Shabbos, and therefore Rav Shlomo Miller says and writes explicitly that it's absolutely permitted based upon the tshuva of his Rebbe, Rav Moshe Feinstein. What about the Makri? What about the Bal Kore? Is he permitted to prepare the laning of the Megillah on Shabbos for Motzei Shabbos? So that, of course, that should be mutter as well, because there's benefit, the same svara, now for what I'm doing. I'm gaining now, I'm benefiting now, I'm getting better at what I'm doing, and I'm learning the Megillah now. The same way that a person is permitted to learn the Megillah on Shabbos, even though you're not reading the Megillah until Motzei Shabbos, Talmud Torah, and it's a mitzvah of Talmud Torah, so I can learn the Megillah now, ki'ilu, in preparation to hear the Megillah Motzei Shabbos, because I'm doing whatever it is that I'm doing now, and there's benefit now. And the same thing is true for the Baal Kriya. The Baal Kriya can absolutely, positively learn and recite and read the Megillah with the trup, when indeed, yes, on some level it's a preparation for Motzei Shabbos, but there's an absolute benefit now, and there's no problem as well. However, the other question relates to that is, can the Baal Kriya or can a regular individual use their actual Megillah on Shabbos? Can the Baal Kriya prepare from his Megillah on Shabbos? Or can somebody take their Megillah out and start learning from the Megillah on Shabbos proper? Here the Mishnah Berurah in Siman Tav Resh Pei Ches, Sif Katan Yud Ches, quotes a machlokes achorin about this. HaPri Chadosh Oser L'Taltel HaMegillah B'Shabbos Me'achash Ein Karim Bo. Pri Chadosh says it's Otzer. The Megillah is considered to be Mukta based upon the Gemara Megillah Dav Dalet Amar Aluf Gzeira De Rabba Shem Yavirenu Dalet Amos Pershus HaRabim. We don't read the Megillah when Tesvav the 15th falls out on Shabbos, so we postpone Kriyas HaMegillah to Sunday till the 16th. And if that's the case, the same thing should be true in this context. How could I read and use the Megillah on Shabbos if we know you're not allowed to read the Megillah on Shabbos in a case where Tesvav Chalios B'Shabbos? So therefore, the same thing is true here. It says the Pri Chadosh, it's Aser L'Taltel HaMegillah B'Shabbos Machash Ein Karim Bo. Once there's a gzera that Aser prohibits Kriyas HaMegillah on Shabbos, the same thing should be true here as well. However, the Mishmur concludes and says, Kama achronim cholkin alav, many achronim disagree with the psak and the opinion of the Pri Chodesh umatirin and permitted. Who are these achronim? Sharatzina Sivkatan Lamrav quotes the Eli Rab, the Big Day Yesh, the Chazdei Dav, the Matiuda. It's also Machtzis Hashekel, and they have two svaras to disagree with the opinion of the Pri Chodesh. Number one, when the Pri Chodesh says that it's Aser and there's an Iser Mukta because of the Gzeira the Rabba, then we don't allow the Kriyas HaMegillah to take place on Shabbos. That's only when the 15th falls out on Shabbos and I could be Yotze with Kriyas HaMegillah. Then we're concerned, Shemi Avren Adalams Rishus Rabban. Then I'll take the Megillah and carry it in a place where there is no Erev. I'll be over the Iser of Hotzah on Shabbos, one of the Lamatas Malachos. But here, this Shabbos, it's only the 13th. It's Yud Gimel. And therefore, since it's only the 13th, you can never be Yotzi with Kriyas HaMegillah on the 13th. And there's no chashash, there's no concern that you're going to carry the Megillah. And therefore, it's permitted to read, use the Megillah, Kisvei HaKodesh on Shabbos, and for the Bal Kriya to lane out of his Megillah on Shabbos. But there's a second reason as well that the Achronim say. Because the Megillah is not Muksa, because I could use the Megillah for other reasons, not just for Kriyas HaMegillah, but to learn and to use it properly. It's like Kisvei HaKodesh, you can't get a Haftorah Sefer. So why should this be any different? And therefore, these Achronim posit that it's absolutely permitted. The indication of the Mishnah Brura is that he goes with the Makilim. Because first the Mishnah Berurah quotes the Pri Chodesh says that it's Aser because of the Isser of Tiltpo Mukta, and then concludes of Al Kama Achronim Cholkin Olav Matirin. Many Achronim disagree with the Psak, the Pri Chodesh, and permit it. The indication of the Lashon of the Mishnah Berurah seems to be that the Mishnah Berurah goes with the opinions of the Mekalim and the Matirim, and the Rov Achronim who take the position that it is Mutter, it's not Muksa for the reasons just described. It seems to be that that's the way later Achronim understand the Psak of the Mishnah Berurah, that he's going with the Mekalim. How about Mishloach Manos? You've prepared your Mishloach Manos, you prepared to give them out Sunday, and they're all sitting around on a table, or they're sitting around the house, and you want to show it to somebody, you want to look at them, you want to touch them. Are the Mishloach Manos Mukta, or are they not Mukta? A strong argument can be made. Sure, they're absolutely Mukta. It's Mukta Machs Mechisar and Kis. You're using it, you're saving it, you're waiting to be using them. Dafka for Purim. Right now they have no purpose. They're all bagged up, they're in a box, they're have their plastic wrapping around it, and seemingly they're set up, they're nice. Some of them are very, very expensive. You're makbid that you don't want to touch them, you don't want the kids playing with them. So therefore, an argument could be made that indeed they are considered to be mukta, machmas, chisar, and kis. However, again, the Sefer Shoshanas Yisrael, Perek Yudalet, quoting Rav Shlomo Miller, Heikil l'taltel l'maro shemakbid aleim baruzim b'nyar yakar. Says Rav Shlomo Miller, it's mutter, and it's not considered to be mukta, the Mishloach Manos, even though they're expensive. And he explains that the reason for that is it's no different than Tamrei de'iska, food that's established, set for sale. It's not considered to be muksa, as Paskin Shulchan Aruch Siman Shin Yud Siv Beis. And since it's food, since you can potentially use it, since you can potentially eat it, then a strong argument can be made that it's absolutely, positively mutter. It's not muksa, although Rav Chaim Kanievsky posits that it is considered to be mukta. Nonetheless, you have a machlokas achronim regarding the status of your Mishloach Manos. If it is really expensive and you really don't want anybody touching and you're really waiting and you're holding it very carefully, then in a chanam it should be mukta. But if it's the type of things that theoretically you open it and use it, then an argument can be made that it absolutely is not mukta. What about bringing your Megillah, which we've established is not Muksa, to Shul on Shabbos? You want to bring it Shabbos morning to have it there for Motzei Shabbos. You want to bring it Shabbos to Mincha so that you're ready and you have it and you're all set. Or you want to bring it on Shabbos because you want to use it. Is that considered to be Hachana or not? So the Pashtus is, that's the ultimate Hachana. You're preparing to bring your Megillah on Shabbos for Motzei Shabbos. And indeed, that's what the Machtzis HaShekel writes. Simin Tov Reish Pei Ches Sivkotan Yud Beis. Yesh zihirus lahaviyul beis haknesses merav Shabbos. You should bring dafka the Megillah on erev Shabbos. Dim yavienu b'Shabbos leis erev. If you're going to bring the Megillah on Shabbos closer to evening, havile kilu mechin lachol. It's as if you are preparing for the weekday for Motzei Shabbos and for Kriyas HaMegillah. However, the Aruch HaShulchan has a little bit of a spin on this, and the Aruch HaShulchan writes in Siman Tov Reish Tzadi Gimel Siv Gimel. If you want to use it, and you're going to bring it to Shul, and you're going to take it and open it and read the first few psukim, or you're on a Perek Beis Gimel Dal or Yud. So therefore, if you're taking it to Shul, and you're going to open up, and you're going to use it, doesn't say it's mutter, it says maybe it's mutter. Shari osze b'shvil Shabbos, shari mutter l'lamda b'shabbos. So theoretically, I could do it because that's the reason I am bringing it now to shul. However, the Aruch HaShulchan signs off, mikol makom nizharim sh'lalav l'idezeh. We're careful, we're cautious, and we encourage somebody not to do that. Dida Chayodam, Klal Kufran Hei Sif Yud has the same psak. Kishachal Yud Gimel B'Shabbos, when the 13th of Adar falls out on Shabbos, Mutal Talta Megillah, that's not considered to be Mukta, as we've described and explained so far, and therefore you see the Chayodam also takes a similar position as the Mishnah Berurah. Why should it be different to use the Megillah Esther this Shabbos than any other Shabbos? I could open up and I can learn and I can lane and I could use the Megillah. Mikol makom, says the Chai Adam, einochon lahavi Megillah beis haKnesses afil b'makom she'irvu. I still shouldn't carry my Megillah to Shabbos even in the place where there is an Eruv. The mikol makom meichi mishabbos hachol. This is considered to be an Isser Hachana, and therefore don't bring your Megillah on Shabbos for Motzei Shabbos. This is also where the kids are Shulchan Aruch Paskins, Simen Kuf Mem Aleph Sif Yudzayin. Finally, another related issue regarding the transition time from Shabbos to Motzei Shabbos regards Shalosh Shudos. You're at Shalosh Shudos, and of course, as Shabbos is ebbing away, it's even going into Motzei Shabbos possibly. And it's getting late and it's getting dark, and in a situation where you go from Motzei Shabbos into Chol, so if the time is passing and you're in Motzei Shabbos, you'll still write Ritzei, you'll still recite Ritzei, like the Psak of the Mechaber in Siman Kuf Peches. However, should you also recite Al HaNisim, because now it is Purim already? This, of course, is a shaila when it comes to Motzei Shabbos, in a situation where it's Rosh Chodesh, the 3 days in Shulchan Aruch and Siman Kuf Peches, there's a Taz, there's a Magen Avraham, and there's a Bach, whether or not you only recite Ritzei, and not the Yalav Yavo, like the Taz, so you'll recite Ritzei and Yalav Yavo, or like the Bach, that you only recite Ritzei, like the Mishnah Berurah, that you only recite Yalav Yavo. However, the Mishnah Berurah in Siman Kuf Peches of Katan Gimel writes, in this circumstance, if your Shalosh Shulos goes late into the Motzei Shabbos, you do not recite Al HaNisim, even according to the Pins that say you would recite the Yalav Yavo on Motzei Shabbos if it's Rosh Chodesh, because the Lashon of the Mishnah Berurah, Eino Ela Rishus, the recitation of Al HaNisim is only voluntary, it's not mandatory, it's not required. Of course, if you forget it, you don't have to go back and recite benching or a Shemona Esrei, and since it's only Rishus, it's not mandatory, it's only voluntary, even if your Shalosh Shulos continues past Shkia, and even into Tzeisa Kochavim, you will not recite Al HaNisim, only Ritzei. Let us now talk about Motzei Shabbos, Bezus Hashem, the time has come, Purma Ba'aleinu Latova. What do you do first? Tefillah and Havdalah and Megillah, what should be done first, what should be done second, and what should be done third? When it comes to Tefillah, we see in the earlier poskim, it seems that there have been different minhagim. Some shuls will daven Maariv, whatever they daven Maariv on a regular Motzei Shabbos. There are certain places that even daven Maariv earlier than the required Zman, and say Shabbos will only be later. There are certain places that will daven 30 minutes, 40 minutes, 42 minutes, 45 minutes. And then later, once it's Motzei Shabbos, once everybody's able to drive to shul, at that point, then Kriyas HaMegillah takes place. So the first meaning is that you separate Tefillah from Kriyas HaMegillah. In this context, although ordinarily on Motzei Shabbos you say V'ata Kadosh immediately after Shemona Esrei, here you would wait until the following of Megillas Esther, when ordinarily you say V'ata Kadosh and V'alitzion, and you'll recite it there. The first minig is you split Tefillah and Megillah. The second minig is no, you'll recite Tefillah along with Megillah, and you'll postpone Maariv till later, till everybody gets to shul. You need people to get to drive, to whoever it is, the women, children, and others who are coming and are not already in shul. And that's the second minhag. Naro, Pashte, both minhagim seem to have a very strong basis, and it seems to be that there are many different communities in Klal Yisrael for Doros who did different things. However, there are some who favor davening Maariv juxtaposed to Megillah later, in order that the Ata Kadosh can be recited in unison and juxtaposition to Shemona Esrei. Some favor that, others that's not so practical. Both possibilities are appropriate, both possibilities have Makoros, and therefore those are the two Minhagim that exist. Either you split Tefillah and you later recite Megillah when everybody's in Shul, Barov Am, or you wait for everybody to come to Shul who's not yet there on Shabbos, and Megillah will be juxtaposed and will follow Tefillah. But what about Havdalah? Where does Havdalah play itself out? What comes first, Kriyas HaMegillah or Havdalah? And this question, of course, is an old question because we know this question and we have it annually every year, Motzei Shabbos Chanukah. What should be done first? Now, although we don't have this question annually, regularly, in the situation of Motzei Shabbos when it's Purim, because that doesn't always fall out on the calendar, but Chanukah, at least once a year, you will absolutely, positively find yourself in a situation where the question needs to be asked, is there a first Chanukah Lecht, or is it first going to be Havdalah? And in Siman Tafresh Pei Aleph and Hilchos Chanukah, both of the Mechaber, as well as the Ramah, are very clear. The first thing you're doing light and there is Chanukah, and then will be Havdalah. The Ramah commenting on the Mechaber says, V'chol shekei bebeiso, sharei kvar hivdil bebeis haknesses, shematlik v'achar kach mavdil. First thing you're going to do is you're going to light the Neris, and then you're going to do Havdalah. So the Mechaber is clear, the Ramah is clear. When it comes to Motzei Shabbos Chanukah, what you're going to do is first light the Neris Chanukah, and then do Havdalah. What's the tension and what's the question? Well, seemingly, the first thing that should happen is Havdalah. Tadir v'sheno, tadir kodim. That which is more commonly done always trumps and always comes before that which is secondly done. And of course, Havdalah happens every Motzei Shabbos, 50 plus weeks a year, and Motzei Shabbos Chanukah is once a year. So why should you light the Chanukah Neris before Havdalah? You should do Havdalah and then light the Neris Chanukah. However, both the Mechab and the Ramah do not paskin like that, and they understand that it's more important to postpone Havdalah. Afuke yoma ma'achrina. Madnucho la'acher lotzis min ha-Shabbos adif tve. We want to postpone Seis Shabbos as much as we can. Whatever we can do to push off saying goodbye to Shabbos, that's what we like to do. So therefore, as a result, the first thing that we do is to light the menorah. And later we'll say, Tzeischem l'shalom to Shabbos with Havdalah. The Mishnah Berurah commenting on the Mechaber, the Ramah, says the minhag ha'olam in shul is absolutely first to light the Neros Chanukah and only then to do Havdalah. But when it comes to a person's house, Nara unara pashte, avid kemar avid, whatever it is that you choose to do, you can so do. So if we have resolved this when it comes to Chanukah, seemingly we can resolve it identically when it comes to Purim. If we always prefer to be ma'acher tzeis Shabbos, kol kama de ma'achrin tzeis Shabbos adif tvei, so seemingly the same thing should be true in our circumstance, and therefore the first thing that we should do is to lean the Megillah, and only after that to do Havdalah. And indeed the Ramah in Hilchos Megillah, Siman Tav Reish Tzadi Gimel Sif Alef, says exactly that. Korin HaMegillah V'achar Kach Madilin. The first thing we're going to do is Kriyas HaMegillah, and only later there's going to be Havdalah. Mishnah Berurah Sifkat and Gimel explains, Koma Sheyesh La'achras Havdalah B'Yitzias Hayom Ma'achrin Lay. And so long as we could postpone Yitzias Shabbos, that's what we're going to do, and therefore first comes Kriyas HaMegillah, and only later comes Havdalah. Indeed, in the Marsham Sefer Das Torah in Siman Tafresh Tzadi Gimel, he also says, like the Mishnah Berurah, and whatever it is that you do at home in your house, as the Mishnah Berurah gives you the option, the Avid Kamar Avid, the same thing can be true there as well. If a person is at home and a person's having a Kriyas HaMegillah in their house, they can't make it to Shul. Or whatever the circumstances, you're going to the second laning or the third laning because other members of the family have to get to Shul first and you're only able to get to the second or third laning. If you want to recite Havdalah first because of the halacha of Tadir V'Sheinu Tadir Kodem, that can be done as well. So therefore, certainly in shul, the right thing to do is first Kriyas HaMegillah and only after that Havdalah. Although if you take a look in the Shaar Teshuvah and Siman Tafresh Tzadi Gimel, he even gives options there. Many communities do things differently. It says, Kol kahol b'kir b'fnei atzvo, ein b'zeh mishum lo sisko dudu. There's not a mechreah from Shas that you have to do it this way, that you must first do Kriyas HaMegillah and only after that Havdalah. So if there are communities who do otherwise, that's also okay. But it does seem to be that the very strong minhag, according to the Mechaber and according to the Ramah, certainly in Hilchos Purim, is first that we lay in the Megillah and only after that to do Havdalah. However, privately, the same way the Mishnah Berurah says, the Avid Kemar Avid, if you want to first do Havdalah at home and only then to do Megillah, that is also okay. However, the excitement of Megillah, the passion of Megillah, and Be'ezah Shem Yisbarach, we should be zocha to a Yimei Simcha V'Sason. Here it's not just this year that we have Yudalit Tasvav, we almost have an elongated Purim with Tainis Esther beginning on Yud Gimel into Erev Shabbos, to Motzei Shabbos, to Sunday. Be'ezah Hashem Yisbarach, we should see Simcha V'Sason, Laihudim Ha'Yisa'ora, V'Simcha V'Sason Yikar. It should be a Mishenichnas Adar Marbim Simcha B'Tzeis, Other, we should go b'simcha, we should be zocha to be mismach geula legeula from Purim to Pesach, and we should be zocha to the ultimate geula shleima b'mhera v'yameinu amen.